Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This is Elder Jesse Stripland preaching at our 2013 fall meeting.
Could take up a lot of time with preliminaries, but I wouldn't proceed without thanking you for the wonderful hospitality here at Harmony Church.
Amen.
And we thank you for the hosting this meeting. We thank the sisters for the outstanding food and appreciate so much your hospitality. I cannot began to express how humble I am to be privileged to be here. I certainly solicit your prayers, and I say that with as much sincerity as I know how. I'm open to the fifth chapter of the book of Luke, and I'll begin there. I'm not sure exactly where my remarks will take me. I do hope that you will pray for the service tonight. As you read the Word of God, as I read the Word of God, I trust it's the same with you, that I put myself on the scene many times. They tell us we think in pictures, and as we read word pictures, pictures come in our minds. I suppose I've been on this scene many a time as I read about the Lord in this occasion. In verse 17 of Luke 5, he said, "And it came to pass in a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him." If you can get this picture in your mind, let's just suppose this building was completely packed, aisles full of chairs everywhere, people standing, and the windows were open, people standing around. Absolutely no way you could get to the speaker. You could picture that in your mind, and that would be a blessed sight to see a house like this full of the people of God, desirous to hear the words of the Lord. Having a reputation that he could heal, they brought a man with palsy, and they couldn't get to him, but they had bad need of him. So their solution was to go up on top of the house. If you can imagine this building being full, and we're sitting here comfortable, and suddenly tiling starts being moved here, and these ceiling tiles will lift out, in case you didn't know that. And suddenly it starts letting a man down on a bed. Well, that's exactly the scene that we have right here. When they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch in the midst before Jesus. And what a scene that was. What a scene that had to be.
Yes.
And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." Well, this didn't go so well with the doctors of the law and the scribes and the Pharisees. They began to reason, saying, "Who is this that speaketh blasphemies? Or who can forgive sins but God?" But I have another question for them. Who can heal palsy but God?
Right.
And if they had thought of that, if they had observed, then realize here's God manifest in the flesh, because they would have seen the miracles that he did. No doubt his reputation preceded him. I guess I would preface my remarks tonight with a question, and I hope that you will pray for me, because I have a thought on my mind that I hope to bring out, and that is, if I were going to title the subject tonight, it'd be Living by Faith. And Lord knows that I want to live by faith. I want to know how to live by faith. I want to know what it means to live by faith. But the question I have tonight, I want to preface tonight with a question. And I've heard this all my life. We are not under the law. Well, I read in the Word of God where you're not under the law but under grace. That's in the Word of God. also read in the Word of God, pardon me, I also read in the Word of God where the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for ungodly, for unholy, for profane, for whoremongers, for men that abuse themselves as mankind, and etc. That's what the law is for. It's not made for a righteous man. I read in Romans 3 where there is none righteous, no, not one. I read where the law was added because of transgressions. It kind of reminds me of the little boy. He's not a little boy anymore. He's grown and got his own little boys. Little boy we knew about 4 years old, 3 years old, and he was presented with a question that by his mother said something about going with some friends and budding up with some church friends. And she asked him, "Do you want to do this?" And he said, "Yeah, I do, but I don't. But I do." Sometimes it makes you shake your head. I am, but I'm not. But I am. I want to, if the Lord would help me, show what it means to live by faith. Are we under the law? Word of God says we are, but we're not, but we are. I mean, it takes some rightly dividing the word of truth, does it not?
Yes, it does. Amen, brother.
Most of the time, I got to admit, most of the time, it's been my experience in life, that most of the time when you hear that question, it's somebody wanting to get out of something.
That's exactly right.
Oh, we're not under the law. Well, I'm as much under the law as I am under sin. Yet I'm reading where I'm not under sin anymore. I'm free from the condemnation of sin. I'm free from the punishment of sin. I'm free from the penalty of sin. And the day's coming, I have a promise from a God that cannot lie, that I'll be free from the presence of sin.
Amen, brother.
And I'm looking forward to that day. Meanwhile, I have a sinful nature that transgresses the law continually. So, I do, but I don't, but I do. I am, but I'm not, but I am. Please bear with me. I want to turn over to the 19th chapter of the book of Leviticus. Leviticus 19. Begins, and this is the law, the laws of the moral and of morality and justice. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Now, I don't know if this maybe would be the definition that in your mind, without looking it up, that you would put on the word holy. But it doesn't mean sanctified. It does not mean holy in the final sense. Holy simply means, in this verse, consecrated, dedicated, sacred. I prefer the word dedicated here. Be ye dedicated, holy, as I, the Lord your God, am holy. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. But if I'm not under the law, then I don't have to fear my mother and my father. If I'm not under the law, I mean that's the law to the Levitical priest. That's the law of Moses. When you reap your harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of the field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of the harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and the stranger. But you see, I'm not on the law, so I don't have to do that anymore. Is that what he's teaching? I mean, if I'm under grace and not under law, then apparently that doesn't apply to me. Oh, we could go on and on. There's many of them. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him, The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until morning. But you say, I'm not under the law, so I can just keep it however long I want to, invest it, and tell him I'll pay him when I get my return. After all, if I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind. But thou shalt fear thy God, I am the Lord. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the persons of the poor, nor honor the persons of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Verse 17 says, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt not in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. But see, I'm not under the law, so I can hate you all I want to. See how preposterous this is? If we don't rightly divide the word of God. And the Apostle Paul said, for the love of Christ constraineth us. And the word constrain simply means to strain, to press, to drive, to exert force, to bind, to chain. And that's what the love of Christ does to the individual that understands what has been displayed for him. The person that understands this, the love of Christ constrains him, and this doesn't is not mandatory anymore. It's a great privilege. It's a great privilege and a blessing, because this is what living by faith will drive us, will constrain us to do. That when we say, you see, for me to drive by and see my neighbor's cow under burden, needing to deliver, and I've delivered many of them, I've delivered plenty of them, but I can say, well, you know, I would help that old cow, but I don't have to get my old hands dirty anymore because I'm not under the law. You see, if I'm living by faith, I take time in my privilege, consider it an honor, to help my neighbor in whatever way I can. Is that not what living by faith is? Is that the law ceases to be a law anymore? It's a privilege. Paul made this statement. He understood something about freedom. And in the ninth chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, and if you're not familiar with it, you should be. Paul says, I'm free. I am free. He was free from, he realized that he was free from the Mosaic law. He was a free citizen of Rome. He was free from Judaism. He had shaken the chains of Judaism. He was free from that. And stated, I am free from all men, though I be free from all men, he said. And his lesson there being that I am not really, really obligated to any person or any man. I don't have to be here. Paul didn't have to be there. I mean, it wasn't a law that the apostle Paul go to Corinth and instruct God's people, establish that church and instruct God's people. He says, I'm free from that, really and truly. He says, I also have the scripture on my side to reap your carnal things, since I've sown among you spiritual things. I have scripture for that. I have the power or authority of Scripture to reap of your carnal things, since I have exhausted myself. And the things that the Apostle Paul experienced and going and being, and you're talking about somebody driven, and somebody was driven or constrained by the love of God. He was driven or constrained by the love of God to suffer the things that he suffered, but he didn't do it for reputation. He didn't do it for fame or fortune. He certainly didn't do it for fortune, because as many times that he wore his fingers out sewing stitches and making tents to get by. He had the power or the authority of the Scripture, because he even quoted to them, it said in the Scripture, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Is this said just for oxen, or just because he cares for oxen only? Or for our sakes is this written? No doubt for our sakes this is written. that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that threshes should thresh in hope. But he said, of all of these things that I have the authority and the power to do, I have used or abused none of them, lest I hinder the gospel of Christ. See, that to me, as far as I can understand it, is living by faith. I read this to the congregation last Sunday. I want to share it with you. Martin Luther, and his subject was the liberty of a Christian. And he started off his speech, Christian liberty, or the liberty of a Christian, and he says, I give you two propositions. A Christian man is a most free lord of all, subject to none. Number two, a Christian man is a most dutiful servant of all, subject to all. Which one do you think is free? Which one do you think has liberty? A Christian man is a most dutiful servant of all, subject to all. You see, there's no way that I can serve the Lord without serving His people. Living by faith is to understand that I am free. I am free from the condemnation of sin. I am free from the damnation of sin. I am free from the penalty of sin. And I am praising God today. And you know, here's one of my biggest problems. And I trust it's yours too. However, it must not be enough of our problem, or we'd do something about it. I see God so worthy of so much praise that there's no way that I can give Him the praise that He deserves. So I need to go out and solicit some help to praise God.
Amen.
I think living by faith is going to do just that. Because when the Apostle Paul made the statement, he made this statement, though I be free from all men, yet I have I made myself servant to all. Though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant to all, that I might gain the more. He's looking for somebody to pitch in and help him. Praise God. And here's what he was willing to do to gain the more. To the Jew, I became a Jew that I might gain the Jew. To them that were under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. And unto them that and them that are without law, and then in parenthetical phrase, he says, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. Is that law not? Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but the law of faith. He considered himself to be under the law of Christ, and doing so, he considered it a privilege and an opportunity when the opportunity presented itself to help his neighbor in whatever capacity it is. He was willing to condescend to whatever degree it was. Though he was not obligated, yet he was obligated. The love of Christ constrained him to and obligated him. The love that he had for God. And if our love for God comes to the point that it starts constraining us, driving us, I think we're living by faith then. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. Now we went over this at home, but I'll touch it a little on it. And he was dealing with people such as maybe you might run in today, might come into your house, that they have been brainwashed that it will curse them, I'll even damn them and restrict them from heaven's world if they were to drink caffeine. Now, if he come into your house, now he's weak. We know that. We understand that. We understand that there's nothing wrong with a good, fresh cup of coffee. We understand that. But if somebody comes into your house that has been taught that that's a voodoo or a curse, what are you going to do? Invite him for some coffee? I'm going to drink me some coffee. You going to have some? You ought to tie this. It really is good. Is that condescending to the weak? I think to push it to the backside of the cabinet and deal with the individual and teach him out of such weakness. Is that not gaining? Is that not living by faith? Is that not the fellowship of his suffering? And then when we're persecuted, or you're persecuted, the fellowship of his suffering, that when we're persecuted for imitating him, when we like him are rejected by a world that knows not God nor cares about God, when we are rejected, then we are enjoying or understanding or experiencing the fellowship of his sufferings. And friends, if the time comes when God's church is exposed to a world that knows not God, you can mark it down, there's going to be some sufferings. But what a perfect opportunity. What a perfect opportunity to experience the freedom of grace. I am made all things to all men, that I by all means might save some. You see, when we start this stuff, and it was started years ago, when we start this stuff, that when the apostles, so stricken by the Spirit of God, fell down at the apostles' feet and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" That our reply has been, "There ain't nothing you can do." Sure, there's something you can do. Get up. Get up and follow the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
Sure, there's something you can do. Go tell your brethren. It reminds me of the three lepers outside of the city of Samaria when there was a great famine and they were lepers. And the Assyrian army had Samaria surrounded. And God intervened. They said, "We can't go into the city. There's no food there. We go to the enemies and they'll kill us. Here we are. But, you know, we might as well go throw ourselves at the mercy of the enemy, of the Assyrian army." But, you see, God worked one of his miracles, as he has many a time, and he's probably doing right now, that we don't realize. But God made the Assyrian army here, as it were, wasn't really, but as it were, a stampede of horses and warriors. And so they dropped everything that they had and fled. Well, here comes the three lepers, and they come up on the scene. Here's horses, and here's tents, and here's all this supply and riches everywhere. Not a soul around. Now, they struck gold. Here where they were lepers. So they began to gather up, and they went and hid it. If I remember correctly, it's been a while since I read this, but they went and hid it, and then they went back and gathered up some more. And they went and hid that. Then it dawned on them. You know, we do not do well. Our brethren over there in captivity in Samaria, starving to death, here we are with all this abundance. So they went to Samaria and said, "Look, riches untold is ours. By the work of God, come and feast." You know, a lot of them didn't even believe them. Isn't that kind of what you run into sometimes? People don't believe you. It's too good. I used this illustration Sunday. I'll use it again. You take a person that's never experienced a deliverance out of someone or something. It could be an animal or a person. That's never experienced being out of captivity, he is in great fear when he's let free. I understand that there are many a slave died in slavery because they did not believe that they were free. There are many a slave died, already have been freed, legally free, but they stayed in bondage because they did not believe that they were legally free. I see a lot of God's people the same way. You can tell God's people. You are free from the condemnation of sin. You're not under the law of sin and death anymore. And they don't believe you. It's just too good to be true. But you know the good thing about it is, it's true. You're not under the condemnation of sin. Not under the damnation of sin. Not under the penalty of sin anymore. And one day the day is coming when we won't be under the presence of sin. Meanwhile, I see the Lord worthy of so much praise that I want to be whatever I need to be to whoever I need to be to gain the more that I might save them from the bondage that they have found themselves in. Like the individual that believes that caffeine might send him to hell, I want to deliver him from that myth. Friends, if you were in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world, all the devils of hell can't keep you from heaven. You're free. Paul said, though I be free from all men, yet I have had made myself servant to all. Paul knew something about freedom. He knew something about being free. But at the same time, he was willing, yea, constrained by the love of God. And he made this statement. I'll close with this. Well, the love of Christ constraineth us because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Oh, man. Not to be living for ourselves. But for him that died for us and rose again. How am I going to do that? Being mandatory? Oh, I got to do this. I just got to do this. You see, you can dart the doors of the church house every single day. Spend your life in the meeting house if so be. But if you're doing it for the wrong reason, that is, if you feel like you're lulled to do that instead of constrained by the love of Christ to serve Him, to worship Him, to come to the house of God and learn how to serve Him. You see, your motive makes all the world of difference. If I'm doing whatever I'm doing for because it's mandatory, I'm doing it for the wrong reason. Oh yes, I should. But the love of Christ constrains me. It constrained the Apostle Paul to suffer in the manner in which he did. The stripes, the scars that he had on his back, that wasn't because he wanted to boast about it. It wasn't because he was trying to make a name for himself. He understood something about the love of Christ that caused the Lord Himself to hang on Calvary. When at His beckoning, you understand? At His beckoning, He could have called legions of angels to deliver Him from that suffering. But the love of God, the love of His Father, drove Him to stay there because He knew what the end results would be. The love of Christ should constrain us, friends. But unto him that died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth we know no man after the flesh, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we him no more. You see, whether I'm at odds with someone, whether I'm at odds with my brother, I should do it anyway for Christ's sake. Maybe he has a personality I don't like. Maybe he just kind of said something that rubbed me wrong. But for Christ's sake, I go on and love him. I love Christ through him. I think that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. I don't know him after the flesh. No, he says wherefore we henceforth know no man after the flesh. For we know no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ. That means We're not enemies anymore. We're not at enmity. There's not enmity between us anymore. You remember on the school ground when you had this buddy, and he was one of your good buddies, and you had this buddy, and he is one of your good buddies, but this buddy didn't get along with this buddy. How good did you feel when you could get them to drop their differences and reconcile, and all three of you be buddies? You remember how good that felt? It'll work true, my friends, on God's school ground, as it were. When we have this brother, blessed are the peacemakers. If we have this brother that is at odds with this brother, and we can reconcile them, I promise you it feels good. He's given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that is to say, God is in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. He and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I think to be a free servant, and that's what we should be, free servants. You're free. See, the Apostle Paul asked the church at Corinth, are you called in uncircumcision? Meaning by that, has God called you to His work as a Gentile? Then use it. If He's called you in circumcision, that is, if He called you as a Jew, then use it. If He's called you in as a bondman, if you want to be free, even if you're a bondman, if you want to be free, use it rather. Serving God's people, serving Christ by serving His people. If that's not living by faith, then I don't understand too much about what it means. You see, it's like the commandments. Somebody come and ask the Lord one time, what is the greatest of the commandments? Jesus made the statement, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy strength, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and all thy might. You see, when you keep that, the rest of them fall in place. When you keep that one, the rest of them fall in place. If I'm living by faith, then any good law that there is in this book is kept. If I'm living by faith, then I consider the mandates of the law a privilege. If I'm understanding it right. To live by faith. You see, it's like getting too concerned, as I'm prone to do, getting too concerned, and I'm not saying don't care, that's not my point, but getting too concerned with coming under the mandates of the United States government and maybe coming under tyranny or dictatorship. The reason we find ourselves here is because we have forgotten that we have another governor that's far higher than the governor of the United States. We have a governor that when we obey him, then the rest of this stuff kind of fades in the background. It doesn't bother us. If God's people are living by faith. You see, I don't Paul says, if we live in the Spirit, you're not under the law. Well, if I'm living in the Spirit, being led, he said, if you're led by the Spirit, led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. If I'm being led by the Spirit, then the mandates of the law become a privilege. They become automatic. You see, if I have the heart of Christ, if I am imitating or mirroring Christ, then when I see my brother under a burden or any of his stock or any way to help relieve the burden of my brother, it's a privilege. And until I have that mindset, I've got some work to do. This didn't quite turn out quite like I'd hoped, but I hope you kind of get the idea. I am, but I'm not, but I am. I consider serving God's people. Now, I can dream as big as the next person. I can. I love to travel. I love to see the world, the country, God's creation. I can dream as big as the next man, but I consider serving God's people not mandatory, but a privilege. May God give me the grace, and may He always keep the magnitude of His love in my sight that would drive me to do this, always serving God's people. May God bless you is my prayer.
Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This has been Elder Jesse Stripland preaching at our 2013 fall meeting.